This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Mayor Bass's first veto survives a vote by the City Council, and Project 2025 is no more. Or is it? But first, the father of the 15-year-old girl in Monterey Park who supposedly went missing earlier this month has officially been charged. He's facing a felony count of stealing or concealing his daughter and a misdemeanor count of falsely filing an emergency report. For 7 days earlier this month, several search crews went looking for Allison Chow before she showed up outside the ABC 7 TV studios in Glendale. Now, prosecutors say she was not missing and that her father hid that fact from law enforcement. This all appears to be part of a larger custody dispute. Allison's mom recently awarded full custody, but her aunt says she didn't want to live with her mother. A police reform measure that was going to be decided by L.A. voters in November will not be on the ballot after all. And that's because of a first-ever veto from Mayor Karen Bass. Craig Figner at the KNX News City Hall Bureau.
A veto from the L.A. mayor. They are rare. In this case, the veto came from Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass over an item that council had voted to send to the November ballot, asking voters whether or not the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department should be able to fire an officer accused of egregious conduct, fire on the spot without pay, and then an ultimate decision made in arbitration. But as the question was headed to ballot, came the veto from Mayor Bass. Councilmember Tim McCosker wanted to override the mayoral veto.
I think it is critically important for the City Council to make its decisions about what goes on the ballot and what does not go on the ballot after a full debate where there was going to be opportunities for the first time in the history of the city to fire officers for egregious acts. Like acts that happen day in and day out, sadly and unfortunately, in our districts.
Despite his argument, the vote was 7-7. Councilmember Paul Krikorian absent, and under council rules, a tie means a veto is not overridden. Here's Councilmember Tracy Park.
Is it a good veto?
You know, it definitely feels as though there were some policy questions and some issues that did not get fully resolved. Absolutely no reason we won't continue to talk about the issues of police discipline and reform.
Council members who sided with the mayor agreed with the veto were Harris Dawson, Hernandez, Hutt, Padilla, Rahman, Hugo Soto Martinez, and Yaroslavsky. At L.A. City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News 97.1 FM.
L.A. County leaders have lined up to blast the governor's executive order on homeless camps. They say the advice from Gavin Newsom to get aggressive by clearing out the camps is the wrong approach. One of those speaking at a meeting of the Board of Supervisors, County Sheriff Robert Luna.
The governor's executive order will not alter the way our department approaches or manages the unhoused population. But though it will increase the fact that we have to communicate with the CHP more often, because if they are doing cleanups, we want to make sure they're coordinating with us as local officials.
And he's echoing what a lot of others are saying, that criminalizing homelessness is not the answer. Supervisors and county officials say their approach is based on care first, reaching out to help people and avoid putting them in jail. The governor issued his executive order after the Supreme Court ruled that cities and counties can clear camps, even if there is no alternative housing available. Governor Newsom announced that $76 million in grant funding will be made available to shore up security at houses of worship and community nonprofits in the wake of rising hate crimes. The California State Nonprofit Security Grant Program pays for security upgrades like reinforced doors, gates, lighting, and screening systems. Hate crimes have been growing against Jewish, Muslim, and LGBTQ communities. The state's given out nearly $153 million to more than 900 groups since 2015. Been a number of burglaries in Encino over the last few weeks, most of them happening during the daytime. Emily Valdez reports.
Most of the burglaries are happening in what you could call the Flatlands area of Encino, north of Ventura Boulevard. Some are just south, but not too far up in the hills. Jerry's lived here for 50 years. Two of her neighbors were recently hit.
That was in a very quiet street and kind of scary that it happened now.
She and other neighbors say this area has always been really safe.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of the safest places are the ones where burglars go to because it's perhaps unanticipated or, you know, they think maybe people have their guards down.
Those guards officially back up. Neighbors are talking with each other on social media. One of the homes that was recently hit now has an armed guard posted in front of it. Police still don't know if the burglaries are done by the same crew. In Encino, I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Firefighters working to slow down a big fire burning in a rugged area east of Temecula. That fire, which started yesterday in Guanga, is now grown to about 4,500 acres. There are evacuation orders still in effect. The fire has destroyed at least one building that was possibly a home. Four other buildings have been damaged. Christian Linneman with Cal Fire tells us the winds are picking up, and so is the heat.
We have a slight west wind, which is kind of increasing fire activity with the humidity level in the mid-teens, and it's about 93 degrees right now.
The fire is 0% contained right now. Now, there are some beaches you do not want to go swimming at. Plus, you get an update on how Team USA is doing in Paris. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. But first, Donald Trump campaign now firmly distancing itself from the controversial Project 2025 proposals that lay out some detailed policies for a second Trump term. Campaign officials issued a statement saying that Trump should not be associated with this project in any way. At the same time, the director of the Heritage Foundation Project 2025 has stepped down. Joining us now for more is California Republican strategist Tim Rosales. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you make of this new approach? The Trump campaign, Donald Trump himself taking great pains to back away from Project 2025, despite the fact that so many people who worked directly in his administration before were involved in this project.
Yeah, I think the Trump administration, Trump campaign has been pretty, clear and consistent. You know, Chris LaCivita, their campaign manager, has issued, I think, an overstatement about, Project 2025 and saying that they're not involved in kind of distancing themselves. So not surprising to see. I think, you know, looking at former President Trump, he is not a traditional conservative. He tends to be a little bit more populist leaning. And so, you know, the fact that he's not in complete agreement with a group like the Heritage Foundation is not surprising at all.
Can you detail any of the specific things that Donald Trump does not like that was in the Heritage Foundation and Project 2025?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the comments that were in Project 2025 regarding, you know, family values and those types of things, I think, you know, the way that it was caged in Project 2025, former President Trump has been, I think, probably one of the most progressive Republican, presidential candidates and presidents over the last, 40 years when it comes to LGBTQ, rights, and also having LGBTQ people at high levels of his administration. I think that's one example of where he has departed from where Project 2025 is.
The guy who stepped down, Paul Danz, the rumor swirled that this was an operation by the Trump campaign to kind of force him to get out. If that is the case, that he was forced out by the Trump campaign, what does that mean for when Trump says he had nothing to do whatsoever with Project 2025, if his campaign is able to effect a change there at the top?
Well, I think, the fact is that the campaign is... Heritage, tends to be a little bit more Republican leaning. The Trump campaign right now is the Republican campaign and the lead of, the Republican Party in the U.S., just as Kamala Harris and her campaign is now kind of the lead of the Democratic Party in the United States. And so, the fact that, similarly to the Republican side with Heritage Foundation, with, groups like NRA and others that tend to be a little bit more right leaning when it comes to the Democratic side, Kamala Harris, SEIU and groups like that, more left-leaning groups, she will have, considerable influence with them as well.
And do you think this is going to resonate with the mainstream voter rather than just, those of us who like to play inside politics a lot?
Those of us who like to play inside politics are weird. I mean, we just are because we pay attention to this stuff 24/7. For the average voter, they're sitting there and saying, probably what's Project 2025? And don't know too much about it. But what they do know is they know a lot about President Trump. They're getting to know Kamala Harris. And, you know, they're going to make decisions based on policy and where these, you know, two candidates, you know, tend to be. And those of us who enjoy the parlor games, you know, we'll continue to talk about it. But, you know, but again, we're probably a little bit different than the, you know, average American out there on the street, you know, particularly, you know, those who are paying attention to, you know, kind of just, you know, their daily lives and working and their families and kind of getting through, you know, each month.
We're not like normal people.
We are not, indeed.
All right. California Republican strategist Tim Rosales, thanks so much for joining us. More warnings about unsafe beach water in Southern California. Natalie Davidian has more for Marina Del Rey, where one parent is very upset.
This mom was actually just telling other parents to get their young kids out of the water. There are a lot of kids in the water today. I broke the news to her, Jamie. She's here with her four-year-old and was upset that officials don't have warning signs up.
Just be here. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, people take it upon themselves not to listen to the signs. They should still be here. Like, that's what we pay the health department to make sure of, to make sure that it's safe here to swim, and it's not. And so I'm very shocked by this.
Had I not approached you and told you, hey, I'm working on a story on getting this word out about a dozen beaches today that have elevated bacteria levels, you would have gotten in the water today?
Yeah, we would have swimmed here, and my four-year-old would have gotten water in his mouth and God knows where else, and we could have gotten sick. So I'm, you know, thank you so much.
But you're hoping that they do something like put signs up and let people know so they can make their own choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to just go tell people.
County officials have actually just started putting signs up here at this beach in Marina Del Rey. Some others on the list include Walnut Creek at Paradise Cove, Topanga Canyon in Malibu, and Santa Monica Pier, 100 yards up and down the coast from the pier. Reporting from Mother's Beach in Marina Del Rey, I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Let's hear a hand for all the tourist workers in Los Angeles!
About 100 LAX workers, including janitors, baggage handlers, maintenance and more, rallied at LA City Hall to urge the city council to modernize the living wage ordinance and jump the pay to $25 an hour immediately with $30 an hour rate by the 2028 Olympics. LA City Council member Hugo Soto Martinez was there.
So when people ask me, do the workers deserve to have $30 by 2028 an Olympic wage? What is the answer to that?
Yes.
Did I hear hell yeah? That's right.
A rally was supported by Unite Here Local 11, the SEIU, and Tourism Workers Coalition.